Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about purine class of compounds. I've had a little bit of a break from memorizing molecules, and I generally do this from time to time, have a go at memorizing them, take a break from them, look at a few of them, and actually see an overall strategy to memorize them. So the purines, sort of very fundamental type of molecule. It's got a hexagon bound to a pentagon of molecules, of atoms. They're famously, at least famous in my mind, in each loop there's that's the hexagon and the pentagon, there are two nitrogens. So it's a, what we would call a nitrogenous base or a nitrogenous compound. Three compounds associated with this is adenine, cysteine, and caffeine, the caffeine molecule. And it's always good to record these and come across. Now, I suppose the major aspects of, you can hear the basic out here in Australia, a combination of choppers going overhead to retrieve people from the national park. I'm sure that would be it. And you've got the cicadas out in force, making it a heap of distraction. The odd birds flying around the place doing things like that. Essentially, we've got nine active atoms in this basic structure, and we add things to it. And of those nine, those two loops, a loop of six, and then added on is a loop of three, sort of an extra ring of three. We double count two of them, so it's six and five, but two atoms double counted, so that's 11 minus two is nine atoms all in all. Now, in general, in any sort of ring, you've got options. You can store the electrons in the ring, and that's called an aromatic compound, or you can suck the electrons off with binding it to things which love electrons, particularly oxygens or so much chlorines and things like that. It's got the option, so it doesn't have to bind. It can actually store its electrons together. But the actual ring structure is such it forms a fairly flat, inflexible platform. Which means it's a good structural micro building block, and we have it there. So the adenine and cysteine are the bases, purine bases in your DNA. They're the two bigger bases, ACTG, or ATCG, adenine and the T molecule. I have to memorize it. And this is the entire process of me going back and committing this all to memory. So I'll get there. So I'm coming back on this, going through precision memorizing. So I'm looking, memorizing the actual structures of this, and then memorizing the structure to it to form it in its biological compound. So adenine is a very important molecule because it forms the base in when it's bound to a sugar. And the sugar is bound into a polymer chain that forms DNA or RNA, those two things that can form. Or if it's also bound, again, just singly to a sugar, free to a sugar, and that sugar binds to a string of phosphates, that's ATP, which is the fundamental energy unit. So it's right in the heart and centre of biology. It's the molecule, the store of electrons there. Is the store of charge in the molecular batteries, which is ATP, which is pumped out and animates you. So adenine is really the essential life-giving molecule inside you, in that it gives you the code for how you're built, but also is important in actually storing energy, transferring energy ultimately from oxygen and sugar. The combustion of that, this forms adenosine triphosphate. Which is your battery. So it's your battery power. So the adenosine ATP floats around your cell and bonds and decharges. So you can imagine your I don't know, like, you've got your Christmas presents, you're putting in your sea cells, and you that makes your little car or thing come to life. So too, ATP makes your molecules inside you come to life. So the animation of living is really based on this molecule. So it's really important to memorize. And as I've said, I'm out there sort of battling the cognitive stuff, it may sound impressive, memorizing chemicals and periodic tables and stuff like that, but it's more retention over a long period of time, and being able to recall in different contexts and put it across. So this need to recuperate on different areas means that you put things aside, and especially if you're, say, not a chemist using this day to day or doing it, you tend to remember things that you need. So it's a big structure here. So as I said, this adenosine, cysteine, and caffeine are all based, class of chemicals called purines, and they're all based on these nine atoms formed into a hexagon and a pentagon. So it's important to remember, and they've got the sort of they can have tagged onto them a multiple array of chemicals tagged onto those nine atoms, and so the electrons can either be pulled into the center pond of those circular bonds, or they can be pulled out into oxidization. So you can have a vast variety of things. So that's an interesting thing to see. And of course, coming back, I've said, let's start with a hexagon and a pentagon. I can remember doing that, and let's always put it down the side. Let's always have it facing a particular direction. That is that I tend to have the pentagon pointing out to the right and the hexagon to the left, and then the hexagon, the apex pointing downwards, and that's turned out to be a good way. And then looking at it, you've just clicked on the numbering system, and I've tended to pick a different numbering system from the standard chemistry number system. That's what I've done in the past, and so that's sort of led to confusion. Something that when I look at something and I look at the numbering system, I say, well, that's different from the numbering system I remember. So I'll throw that away. Now, the interesting thing about this is the tendency. I have a tendency to rotate it so the hexagon's on the top, so it's dynamically, in my imagination, it's dynamically stable, and it can be made up into a person, with the hexagon being a head and the pentagon, so the pentagon being a head and the hexagon being the body. So I could make up snowmans and stuff like that to memorize it. But as things go, I'm now imagining it. And so as my imagination is coming back, I can sort of close my eyes a bit more and see the images previously. Before, I could close my eyes and see the molecule in one side and the formula and other sort of equations sort of in the other eye. It's quite hard to describe. It sort of closes. It's sort of like a blackboard almost. I suppose it's from when I grew up. So let's start off with adenosine. Adenosine, the O, the E there, and that's the base in your DNA. ATCG, the A and T go together, the C and the G go together, and the A and the C are purines, which are just hexapentagon. How do you like that? Hexapentagon, that's what they are like. And also the caffeine, the T and the G are hexagons. Sorry about this. This is my brain not firing perfectly. So, getting back to this, we want to take the numbering system. And the way that they do it, the numbering system, which I sort of rather like, I think this is good. So if you can imagine the hexagon with the apex at the bottom, the vertex at the bottom, the vertex at the bottom and the vertex at the top, and a flat side left and right, and at the right side you connect a pentagon. That pentagon is also got a vertex bottom, but a vertex off to the extreme right and a vertex up to the up, and then it would be a lot easier, and then it's the vertical or the highest atom in the that pentagon is connected back to the hexagon. So if you can imagine that, I can imagine that in my head, and I suppose I'm really straining myself to actually articulate that, speak and articulate that at the same time. And what will happen is that if I spend an hour or two doing this type of stuff, I get quite exhausted, mentally exhausted. I actually fall asleep doing it. That's the upshot of it all. So getting back into it, we want to have a numbering system. There's going to be, in the purine, which is a hexagon pentagon, there's four nitrogens. If it's got nine molecules, nine atoms all lined up, it's four nitrogens and five carbons to form this ring. Store that away. And the bottom line is, I'm not going to tell you what's nitrogens and carbons. The bottom line is to get your numbering system. Now, your numbering system, the way it's arranged, feels right to me, because you start numbering one at the left, up the top, as you would do in a page when you start to write a letter. You go to the left and top when you first write, and there is a tendency to go clockwise, but this day we're going to go anti-clockwise. Just have to get used to it. And so in your hexagon, at the top leftmost one, remember that in this configuration, the hexagon's got its vertex pointing up and a vertex pointing down. I have the flat side to the extreme left, and the left upper atom, there'll be an atom directly below that, that'll be number two. The bottom atom at the actual vertex at the bottom will be number three. 4, 5, 6 will get you to the top apex. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 numbering. A beautiful numbering system there. And I sort of approve that. Then that's going anti-clockwise. Now, from the 5 one, you can go to, 5 can go to left to 6 or right up to the pentagon, which is attached. We'll call that one number 7. The one at the vertex, which is extreme right-hand side, is number 8, and the bottom one is number 9. Of course, I should just say at this stage, just because I'm a bit dyslexic, I mix my left and right, so in my head I've got it really clear. I'm just unsure with my words come out incorrectly. So you've got to really think about this. Perhaps get out your Wikipedia page and have a look as we go along here. So we've got the numbering system coming up, and it's the very first thing, because I think the numbering system, before you identify what atoms are what, is a general thing. And so this numbering system really works for adenine, cysteine, and caffeine. Same numbering system goes all the way through. Now we want to pick out where the nitrogens are. Now your nitrogens are at number 1, 3, 7, 9. Isn't that beautiful? 4 nitrogens. That's the 1 and 3 are in your hexagon at the extreme left upper one. Then at the bottom base is number 3. And then in your pentagon at 7 and 9. So easy saying that. I feel really sorry for people who've had to listen to the last ones where I've tried to describe it. Sort of, you move up, down, now like this. So that's pretty easy. I'm not going to do cysteine because that's outside my memory capacity at the moment. I used to be able to do it. Now, the thing, adenine has, basically, you could have nothing attached to it. nothing attached to it, and lots of electrons on the inside, and quite a lot of electrons on the inside. If it was all carbon, you'd need so carbon's got one extra proton and one extra bond. Nitrogen's got three bonds with it. So nitrogen is just a little bit short on positive charge, and it's got a little bit less negative charges. But overall, you could form it with nothing on the outside. So all those atoms those 1 to 9 atoms you could put things on. You can't really put things on anyone on the 4 and 5 atom, because they're really bound into the loop. I suppose you could do it, and you know, 4 and 5 atoms are bound into both the hexagon and pentagon. They're both carbons, just to give you a heads up on that. And they don't tend to have, 4 and 5 don't tend to have anything bound onto it. But what you bind onto the 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, and 9, 8 generally doesn't have anything bound onto it as well, just as a heads up, is really what gives it away. And the more electron-loving things you bind on, the more electrons get ripped out of this molecule. Now, this molecule, I think, is a see-through. It doesn't absorb light. You have molecules very similar to it, with a lot more electrons pushed into it. If you've got more electrons in there, more nitrogen, less nitrogens in that ring, say less than 4 nitrogens, I think you'd have enough pi orbitals. That's what the quantum mechanics terms for electrons which don't sit in the bonding phase, but they actually sit above and below the actual plane, that sort of plate. I just wish I could describe it. There's a, sort of a number of reasons why this forms a nice little plate thing. Now, the great thing about this is that because it's unflexible and you add things to it, you know, if you add a molecule to it and add another molecule to it, you've got a useful separation. It doesn't flex. And so this is, in terms of chemical reactions, biological chemical reactions, it's a set thing. The other molecules, which bind around a bit, you've got to do a bit of structuring to get it to eat. It's sort of like eating bases. Eating things with these purines is like quick, like eating dead vegetables, whereas the other proteins, which can move around, it's a bit like trying to eat a live snake in your mouth, or a live worm. It tends to wheel around and doesn't fit in as much. So there's a beautiful workhorses. As I've said, at 1, 3, 8, and 9 are nitrogens. And the adenine, now that I've done all this space work, adenine, which is a fundamental one, has a amine group at number 6. That's the carbon at the top. That's got a nitrogen and 2 hydrogens, and amine. Amine is nitrogen and 2 hydrogens. It's when you're visualizing, it's blue with 2 hydrogens either up the top there. Just to give you a heads up on the structural thing, is that in general, you don't put hydrogen bonds. When hydrogen is bound to carbon, you don't draw it. There's one exception there where it's ambiguous. Ambiguous. You may want to draw it. So with the carbon, you just put a C and you count the number of bonds, and if there's 2 bonds coming into the carbon, you know there's 2 hydrogens in there. It's just a shorthand. So you've got to know this ahead of time. Or if there's 3 bonds into a carbon, that you know that there's another, that the other thing is either, you know, is held up with a hydrogen. So this is a convention you don't put there. But for nitrogen, it's slightly different. If you have a bond going up, so we've got a bond going up from number 6, it's an N, you then draw the two hydrogens out the top there. And then for the adenine needs one more, and that's on number 9, is a hydrogen. Now that one is drawn with a bond and a little H. So this is, you've got these four H's, or three H's, two on the nitrogen on number 6, and one on the, for number 9. Now, the curious thing is that if you were to just draw a line there with nothing, no hydrogen, but just a line just going out from the 9 downwards, that would actually represent a carbon. Again, to simplify it, we have that when a couple of lines come together, so it doesn't clatter and it's mostly carbon, we don't draw the carbon. So we have this shorthand of drawing a structural formula in which the carbons have gone and as many hydrogens as you can do is lifted up, and it's really sweet. So if you look at this one for adenine, you would see four nitrogens. If the nitrogen, five nitrogens, four in the purine ring at the 1, 3, 7, and 9 locations, and then one on sticking out from the apex, which will be an N, and then lines up from that with two H's. I haven't got it here. This is just visualization going ahead. Now, you wouldn't see a carbon. You don't see a carbon drawn in there. In terms of the hydrogens, the only hydrogens that you draw there is from the two on the amine at the top and one hydrogen on number 9. Now, I just have to remember here, because that's very important, nitrogen on 9, the hydrogen on 9, does that mean that hydrogen goes out and you can put it in the ribos? I'll have to think about that. Now, the important thing is that it's the real estate at from 6, 1 and 2. What's stuck to 6, 1 and 2 means that sticking things on there means that if you stick something which has got hydrogen bonds, makes it attract there. So I'll have to really think about that. Now, I said I'm not going to do cysteine, but I will do caffeine. And caffeine. Caffeine is, forget the amine. So caffeine, you've still got that set of 9 atoms, which goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the hexagon, and I'll say it with nitrogens, 1 nitrogens to 3 nitrogen, 4, 5, 6, and then peeling off from 5 going around and clockwise, it goes 4, 5, 7 nitrogen, 8, 9 nitrogen. That's just an innovation there of putting the word nitrogen after a number where it's different there. Now, in that particular one, let me I have to think. Yeah, so in that one there, you have a methyl group attached to every nitrogen bar the ninth nitrogen. I think that's right, yeah. So a methyl group is a carbon with three hydrogens on it. So it's got a carbon, it's got four bonds, one to bond to your molecule of interest, and the other bonds are all capped off with hydrogens. And as a molecular physicist, you know, this is jutting out into water space, something rather oily, the hydrogens there are not really interested in any hydrogen bonding. And it also rotates. That can have a lot of energy stored in it because that carbon can rotate. If you've got more of it, you can make it store quite a lot of thermal energy. So, sorry, I've just got to mentally put this all in my head. So, the nitrogens can have three bonds. It can be in the ring with two bonds in the ring, three bonds in the ring, or it can go two bonds in the ring. So it's and then it's not got this. It's an electron that's thrown into the ring is then thrown out. So the bond can be inward ring pointing, or it can be outward and pick up. And so all these nitrogens have methyl group, so three methyl groups, and again we've got on atoms 6 and 2 oxygens. Now they're double bonded to carbon, and you can do that. So you can have a double bond oxygen in there. So two bonds into your carbon at number say 6. That draws the electrons out, and that carbon can only bond with one electron into its ring. And similarly, on the 2-1, is that there. And so this forms something which is rather oily. Just looking at it, there's not a lot of... It's rather an oily type of stuff. So it's things which go... An oily things can like that can go through a membrane rather well. So that's a caffeine molecule. So that's has 9 in the ring, 9 atoms in the ring, and that is a double ring, your figure, sort of slightly lopsided figure 8, and it's got the methyl groups and the oxygen groups, and you can sort of get a real look for it. And it's really also interesting that the oxygen, it's a really interesting molecule to look at, because the oxygen, by having two, it's the way it binds, it will have its electron clouds. So oxygen has more protons than carbon, so it goes carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and therefore having more protons, it's got more electrons, and those electrons are bound, pointing out. So as a molecule, the caffeine's quite interesting. So there you go, it's purines, and I'm just exercising my memory at this stage. And perhaps later on today I'll go and recite the periodic table. Again, as I've looked at the periodic table, I've realised, I've been swapping it right towards the end. I've been swapping elements around. I've been putting dipnonium after flerbium. This is at the boondocks of the periodic table. So I've been making a few mistakes there. So as I'm getting back into the track, I'll go and recite the entire periodic table again. And I'll keep on going, citing and researching stuff like that. It's a real long, hard slog for me, because I've got to sort of, as I'm re-memorizing all the chemicals, I'm memorizing the classes again, and then the structure of the classes. So eventually I'll get back up there. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.